The member for North Sydney has the call.
I refer to the Treasurer's answer where he said debt will peak at $356 billion. Treasurer, if the debt cap limit is $300 billion, why don't you have the courage to increase the debt cap limit on your watch?
What the Shadow Treasurer is doing is quoting market value, which admittedly does appear in the budget papers. But what is issued is face value. And I've said to him earlier, we are below the cap. That's what I've said to him. But he is seeking to go out there and use a market value rather than the face value. And the face value is what is issued and what the government owes. So he is deliberately seeking to increase and to cause fear about modest debt levels and being dishonest at it.
Well, that cleared it up. Question time today, the day after the budget. Still talking numbers and strange concepts like market value versus face value of debt. What on earth does it mean? Is it fiscal fear-mongering, as Wayne Swan suggests, or does Joe Hockey have a point? Joining us now is Peter Martin, economic journalist for Fairfax Media, a former ABC hand and Commonwealth Treasury official. Peter, good evening.
G'day.
Market value versus face value.
Okay, here we go. Right, look, what is debt? Debts are things called government bonds, right? Mm-hmm. With government issues them, and lo and behold, people give it money because they expect a return in the future, okay? Now, the face value is the price. You could think of it as the interest rate applicable to that bond when it's issued, okay? But if interest rates go down worldwide, as they have been doing, that becomes more valuable if it's resold to someone else, okay? So the price changes. As it happens, the price goes up because it becomes more valuable because it's at an older, higher interest rate. None of this need concern the government. What concerns the government is the price of the bond when it issued it, which is the face value, because that's the interest rate it has to pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters. Now, when calculated that way, Australian government debt is considerably below the ceiling. We've got around 280, believe it or not, quite a lot of debt matured today, $16.7 billion of bonds issued by Peter Costello. because these are 10-year bonds,
yes.
Right? matured today, and Australia's debt at the face value fell today. It moves around. But the point is that we have a debt ceiling of $300 billion. What Joe Hockey was trying to do there was to get the Treasurer to say, oh, there's 356 on offer out there. But that's actually not what's significant. What's significant is the number with the interest rate that applies to us, which is around 280. I hope that was clear.
I mean, it sounds to me like it's an accounting principle, isn't it? You either give that value to them or that value to them, as long as it's consistent.
We're not interested in it. I mean, when you sell something, if you sell your CD collection, all you're interested in it is the price you got for it. If someone else sells it later for a lower price or a higher price, that is of no concern,
so
actually.
The member for North Sydney is being a bit of a scamp.
He will be in a very difficult situation soon, should he become the Treasurer, as is likely to, I guess, after the election. We have a debt ceiling. I'm not sure why we have one, but we have a debt ceiling of $300 billion. The government cannot issue more gross debt. That's bonds. We look at net debt, which is the government borrows as well as lends, but cannot issue more than $300 billion. At the moment, as I said, it's 280. But because of all of these deficits we've been having, it's scheduled to increase. It's scheduled to increase to 293 in June 2015. At that time, if Joe Hockey is Treasurer, which he will be if the Coalition wins the election, most likely, at that time, someone will have to increase the ceiling. Because you need headroom. The Office of Financial Management says It's a bit like a credit card limit. You need headroom because your payments and money coming in, like I said today, you know, we had some bonds paid off, vary throughout the year and at different times. So you need headroom. Someone will have to increase the debt ceiling. Wayne Swan, in a bit that probably passed by people in that exchange you played, it wasn't in the bit that you played, but was right next to it. Wayne Swan was cunningly, sneakily taunting Joe Hockey. He didn't say so, but he just said this: will we increase the debt ceiling? Because Joe Hockey asked that. Well, at the appropriate time, that's a decision that will have to be made, and it will have to be made by the next treasurer. Wayne Swan was not going to help him out by increasing it ahead of time.
And no doubt,
that's clear.
No doubt, shadow treasurer under the Combe opposition in that, at that point, Mr. Bowen will make the point that the treasurer, Mr. Hockey, is increasing the debt ceiling, and he will get as much stick.
Costello's debt will be expiring at the time.
There's
a really interesting thing about this debt, by the way. Australia was debt-free. The Commonwealth government was debt-free after the government, after Peter Costello sold Telstra.
As we are told.
And they made a very deliberate decision. It could have gone either way. They made a deliberate decision to remain in debt. The reason was that if they were debt-free, there'd be no bond market. Now, no one sort of used to lending money to Australia, and you need a certain amount of it so that traders get used to trading these, like your CD collection, retrading them, right? Now, had we decided to be debt-free, which was an option, we would have been in awful trouble when Australia again needed to borrow money in the global financial crisis. What Peter Costello, bless him, did was to say, all right, I'm debt-free, I can announce that, no problem there. I'm now going to issue a whole lot of debt, and at the same time, I'm going to buy a whole lot of assets. Indeed, as I wrote at the time, the government sold Telstra in order to buy a parcel of shares, which included Telstra shares, so that it deliberately maintained debt. Because, again, think of it like your credit card. The one thing you don't want to do, by all means, get your credit card borrowing right down, but you don't want to tear up your card because you might need it.
Peter Martin, just in broader terms, last night's budget, what's your helicopter view?
My helicopter view is that it's a good budget. I'm not the only person to have said that. In fact, I think the budget was designed to appeal to people like me. Whether it appeals to the wider public, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we don't get many votes. The government, though, made things awfully difficult for itself by saying things like... here's Julia Gillard last year. Friends, let me make this clear once and for all. A budget surplus is not a political target but a potent economic tool. It speaks of confidence. No signal is more powerful. It was Wayne Swan would never have been in this sort of climb down sort of situation, and his words were just as bad. He opened the last budget by saying, you remember, these four surpluses I deliver tonight are a vote of confidence. They should never have gone down that whole road. They made things difficult for themselves. No, look, it's a responsible budget. It saves money increasingly over time, but not right now, when right now the economy is... Well, no one knows what's going to happen. We know the mining boom, the mining investment boom is ending. We don't quite know what will replace it. It's not quite the right time to wind back the economy sharply to return to surplus. So, no, good economic management. In other words, I think the, in a way, someone asked me, all right, it's good economic management, but what's the best thing in it? And I said, well, it did no harm. There's not that much to talk
first
about.
First rule is to do no harm.
like medicine. It's a responsible document, and I suppose that's what makes it unusual, and especially unusual right now before an election.
Tough enough, given some of the structural issues that we face?
You wouldn't want it to be too tough. Not at the moment. In fact, in this financial year and next financial year, Wayne Swan actually spends more money. That is to say, he pushes the budget further into deficit because of the present financial situation. Mm. It's not tough enough for the long term. Yes, they've funded Gonski and the National Disability Insurance Scheme. For the long term, that's only going to be the start of our needs. There are truly shocking numbers. Penny Wong pulled them out 2 years ago before the tax summit they had. Truly shocking numbers of how much extra tax revenue we will need. We will need the tax revenue partly because we're ageing. It's going to be harder to find workers. That is to say, the ratio will move, I think, from 2.5, I think it's 2.5 workers, people of working age, for each person of non-working age, that's over 65 or under 15, move from 2.5 to 1.5. Big change. We're going to need the money to either get the technology to replace the workers or to get the workers from somewhere. The other thing is our demands, quite rightly, I guess, our demands for health spending and the ever-increasing cost of the technologies, it's not wasted money, the technologies are doing a great job, is going up and up. As we get older and as we get richer, the thing which will matter to us most is health. And realistically, only the government can provide that, and that can only be provided by more tax. So the NDIS, getting that started, getting that going for 10 years, that's just the beginning of the long-term problems. We will need a lot more tax. We'll be able to pay for it, I guess, because we should get richer over time. But and the budget problems are only beginning. It's one of those things, you're going to have problems down the track, but please don't fix them just yet, because right now the economy, as both sides agree, Joe Hockey said this as well, he wouldn't go back into surplus immediately. The economy's a bit fragile.
Peter Martin, thank you so much.
Good to talk.
Peter Martin is an economics journalist for Fairfax Media.